Off the ball, rugby.
What Joey Barrett has brought to the club, the performances he's had, the punch that he gives, is another dimension on what Robbie's game is. That's the reality.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and myself, Tommy Rooney. A little bit muted this evening. I'm not wearing green. I noticed James, though, is that an off red kind of a top, and Paddy's got a kind of pink shirt on. Is this an ode to Loud finally breaching their 68-year gap to a Leinster title? What scenes, lads? I'm gonna set my meanness aside. Like, absolutely incredible scenes yesterday to see them celebrating that Leinster title that way. Like, remarkable.
No, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. After the game, you could tell how emotional they were. You know, and even when they did a homecoming that night.
Class.
That was just class. Like, you know, just seeing everyone so buzzing for a Leinster final, because it's been a complete procession, obviously, for the last God knows how long. For it to mean that much to the winner, I think it was just refreshing. It was like, I know it sounds terrible, but it is like what the GAA is supposed to be about. You know, those kind of those heartwarming victories. And they deserved it. Like, they were on the ropes for a while, but they dug it out. They stuck at it. Even when the game went into complete carnage, turnover after turnover, they were able to stay cool-headed and control the game at the end to get over the line, which must have been hard, especially after losing two finals, to come back and show that coolness to be able to win it. And then the unbelievable elation, I must say. And I usually don't really watch teams do the celebrating, and I think, so I don't really watch that part, but I watched every single bit of it. I enjoyed it. I was happy for them.
I only copped it afterwards, but Mulroy on his... in the speech afterwards, he's walking back and forth like the guy had envisaged this moment for so long. He knew he was going to earn his way into this place to give that speech up there, and it was a great speech. It was a phenomenal speech.
I'd say he's manifested it, because if you think about all the interviews he's done over the last couple of years, he has not held back.
Yeah,
like, well, he shoots from the hip. Yep.
He does. He hasn't said, oh, we'll do the best we can or whatever. He said he wants to be the best player in the country. He said that he wants Loud to win titles. Like, and they've gone and delivered a massive one. So you'd have to take your head off them.
When the squeeze came on in that second half, he wasn't going to be left wondering or wishing afterwards that he'd taken a chance. He took four shots at the start of the second half when Loud was still down by a point. Three two-pointers, one wide from play, one wide from a free, one drop short that looked like it was destined to go over the black spot, and he actually misses a 45 then after it. But James, he did those white predators justice in the end, as you said on the Monday Minute.
He sure did, but the white preds delivering in Croker. But you know, the fact he kept shooting obviously says an awful lot about him, but it says a lot about the camp that Gerard Brennan's probably put together, that they have the confidence and the resilience and the faith in each other, that it was a case of keep shooting, keep shooting. There was nobody in his ear saying, give it off or anything. They still backed him to keep shooting. And I can tell you, that 45 that he lined up after missing three or four of those on the trot, there would have been doubts going on in his head going, this mightn't be my day. You know, and like, he put them absolutely out of his mind, nailed that 45, and then proceeded to kick three more phenomenal scores to get them over the line. So I think it speaks a lot of the whole camp that he was able to do that.
Paddy, what was it like being a dub with so many Leinster medals, sitting in Croke Park yesterday, the green and the red, the noise, the colour, the atmosphere? Tell us about your experience yesterday in Croker.
I have to say, I was in a good friend with Jack McCaffrey, so we've obviously been in many Leinster finals at a time. I really loved it, I have to say. I thought it was class. Exactly, I echo what Jimmy said, what you were saying, T. It was the buzz in Drumcondra, great weather, both teams, we said it last week, coming in, realistic ambitions of winning the thing. You know, Loud have been in the last two against, obviously, I think Sam Mulroy refs the Dublin train the last couple of years. There was no, the last two Leinster finals, combined crowd wasn't the same as the 65,000 were there yesterday. So there was just a sense of anticipation. We knew it was going to be such a close game, and it turned out that way. And Jimmy, funny you say that, I had a smile on my face, not for totally impartial, didn't care who won the game, but the reaction, I think Mulroy drops to his knees, head and hands, just tears of joy. The emotion around it, and obviously, like I said, myself and Jack, we'd experienced that feeling of winning the Leinster Championship so many times in our career, and it was never like that. You know, that that's the reality of it. It had kind of gone numb, that feeling of just pure emotion and elation. And we said whoever came out on top yesterday was going to see it. And it is an amazing thing to see. Just guys paying the price, the sacrifices, the journey that Louth team have been on. I'm not saying Meath haven't put in that work and all that type of stuff. Of course they have. And they did so many good things yesterday, Meath. But to see a team get that reward yesterday, it was a very cool thing to see. But the atmosphere around the game was class. The noise, the colour of it. The players put on a spectacle. We might get into, I suppose, the more technical stuff, the quality, maybe the Leinster final compared to what we've seen in Clonus on Saturday night. But I thought it was an incredible excitement around the game. Like I was telling you, T, off air, Jack was beside me. he is like a little baby. But like Costello gets the goal, and which was with a noise when that goes in. Jack is up jumping for me, and then when Roy kicks his 2-pointer, Jack's like, yes. But I was like, who the fuck are you cheering for here?
He's just a football fan.
He was a football fan, and as was I enjoyed it, and like the bit of crack with. We were kind of, whatever section we were in, there seemed to be a bit more Meath people. So that one was not a head record. Oh, Vuvuzelas. The GAA need to get rid of them. I am semi-deaf.
Get rid of them.
But just the atmosphere around it, we knew it would be a special day. And with what we've seen in Clonus on Saturday night, Croke Park yesterday, and what we're going to see now that the All-Ireland Series kicks off this weekend, Gaelic football is vibing at the minute.
It's back, baby.
It's so good. But Loud, so happy for them. Ger Brennan, Niall Moynihan, all those players, like say Mulroy, Craig Lennon, Tommy Dernan, shoulder to the wheel. They've been on a journey further down the track than that Meath team, and that probably told in the end, like we said it would last week. It was a great day for Gaelic football, and heartbreak for me, but it was Loud's day. It was brilliant to see.
James, we'll come back to the Ulster final in a couple of minutes, and I want to get both of your takes on it. Michael Murphy gets man of the match in the Ulster final. Murphy had some brilliant moments, right? But I just didn't think he was man of the match, okay? And it's a very subjective thing.
Hey.
Samuel Roy gets man of the match yesterday, right? He kicks his 1-7. He delivers in the big moments. He has 53 possessions. I wonder will Meath regret maybe the way that they set up around them. I just felt Craig Lennon was the best footballer on the field yesterday, like 2024 All-Star. When he took off, when he took flight,
The goal is spectacular. What a goal.
It's one of the best goals I've seen in Crow Park since.
Yeah, so good. The keeper dives full stretch. The keeper makes it look good as well.
Yeah, but Billy, at least Billy Hogan went with Jan Sommer, the one hand. He didn't go two-handed like Onana, like he tried to save it.
Yeah.
I agree. Greg Lennon was excellent. I think that Mulroy was the best on the field because I think the pressure was on him.
Okay.
Like, I think he knew that he's going to have to deliver 7 or 8 points, or in the end he kicked 1-7. He had to deliver the scores, and there's pressure on that. And I appreciate the way he went about it. Like, I know we're saying, and it was emotional on that, but there's still a game to analyse. Like, if Lowe'd go on, it's interesting how they actually played Mulroy. Like, a lot of time, he was behind the play, not involved. And there was times I was thinking, why are you back there? It's like, why aren't you the fulcrum of the attack from 14 or 11 and actually involved more in the play? But in the end, it did work a treat because they didn't risk too many balls going into full forward line. They did play a couple of kick passes in, but they didn't really risk too much. And they're the one pulling the trigger outside.
They're so structured. Like, I just felt their wiliness, the kind of manner in which they could maybe soak up the pressure from Meath and the Meath purple patches and strike. And the way that they were able to open Meath up, carve them open a couple of times. You could just see that they're operating. I think Meath's potential... I honestly think Meath's potential, and I'm probably banging this drum a bit, I think Meath can get further along now, this young team, like they have further to go. I think Loud are very close, and I made this point last week, they're very close to being at their peak at the minute, the peak of their powers. Well, I don't think they were great yesterday. Three points.
We all said that last week. Look, Loud, if you're getting into the nuts and bolts of the game, for maybe 50 minutes of that game, Meath were the better team. Like, definitely in the first half, like, you get to what, 45, maybe 48 minutes, Loud have only scored 3 points.
43,
and their attack was not functioning. Ryan Burns had a couple of moments. He gets the goal. The goals keep them in it. And Meade will look back on that. Like, for as good as Craig Lennon's goal is, if you're Robbie Brennan, you're looking at the Meade defence, looking at that, that it's just cardinal sin to just come straight through the middle of the pitch and score a goal. Billy Hogan will look back at Ryan Burns' goal and should he have probably
takes the deflection. Takes the deflection off Ryan
Hogan. Okay, but still, I think he will look at that and say, could have done a bit better. Now, the penalty is the penalty, but those goals keep Loud in it. And we were talking about Loud had the experience of being in the previous two finals, and we were kind of questioning Meade, this young team, okay, with a smattering of experienced players like Menton and Kyogre, but how are they going to react to the Dublin win? And they came in on the occasion that looked to have got to Loud, if anything, and Meade played the best football in the first half, and they were full value for the leads they were getting, but Loud's goals kind of kept them in it. But as we kind of teed up, and a bit of a victory lap here for what we were saying last week, you felt in the final quarter that bit of, you know, people talk about experience and know-how because it is a fucking thing. It does matter. And you could see in that last 20 minutes, Loud had it. And that's where I would have given Mulroy man of the match for that exact reason that Kieran Downey was relatively quiet up top. Ryan Burns had kind of gone out of the game. And if Loud were going to win this thing, it was going to fall. We kind of would have maybe said before, if Loud were going to win it, Mulroy needs to be hot. But he wasn't. That is the reality. Okay, he was playing out the pitch, but his shooting was a bit off as well. Like, but when it came down to it, that final quarter, Loud's know-how, their experience, you look at Craig Lennon score, they keep the ball for 3 minutes flat, kick the winner, or the insurance point, and Mulroy comes into the game, his right foot score on the loop, his left foot point, both from play. They were massive, massive moments. And you know what, I know we say Murphy on Saturday night winning the man of the match. We say the best players are the best players because when the shit hits the fan, they deliver. That's why they're the stars. That's why they should get man of the matches for things like that. And when Loud were under the pump and they were not playing well, they were not anywhere near the level we expect that Loud team to get to. They stood up, but he was the leader of that and was the difference maker in the end. And that's the impressive thing from Loud. First half, they will look back and say they go into the All-Ireland series now. They've a decent group. That won't be good enough. And it's kind of where the Loud kind of say, we've done this monumental victory. Is that it? Or do we want to get through the group, get into an All-Ireland quarterfinal? Because that's where they can get to. But the final quarter, when it was there to be won, Mulroy was the man leading the charge. And I thought, Meade's inexperienced. They learned from it. But that's, you could see it clearly in the last 20 minutes. They just didn't have that kind of punch. They were out on their feet, to be fair.
They're actually in a decent group now, aren't they?
Both of them have relatively good groups. Both of them, Jimmy.
Meade's group is trickier. You've got Cork, you've got Kerry. Yeah,
you're not going to get an easy group team when they're coming in as a provincial loser anyway. But it's not the worst.
True.
Can Meade get through that group?
Well, yeah, the game against Cork, Paddy. The game against Cork is the big one. And
the Rossies. They beat the Rossies, Tommy.
No, for sure. But Cork is in Navan. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, you're looking at maybe the Mayo lads, how good they were after falling short against Galway. I was looking out at the Meath lads. Robbie Brennan made sure they stayed over by the hill. They watched all the Loud celebrations. They stayed right up to the last minute. They soaked it in. They would have been gutted.
You have to put this part of the journey, too.
It's either going to be the making of them as a team, James, or it's going to be the breaking of them, you know?
It will. It'll be the making. But if you think about it, right, Loud probably deserved to win. But the free to win it when Meade were a point up, or the free not to win it, but the deciding score really,
when that free was given
for a two-pointer was incredibly harsh. Like, if you're on the losing side when it comes down to that, it's hard to take. It's a bitter pill to swallow because in the old rules, the ref could kind of give a free there. And you'd be kind of thinking, will I take this on or not? I might go short. You know, it's kind of a low risk position. No, that's exactly the spot you want to get a free in because it's a 2-point shot, which they actually converted. So like it turned on a referee decision, which I did think was very harsh. If I don't think it was actually a free.
But if you look at one, like Billy Hogan gets a 2-pointer for Meade at the start of the second half for kind of, remember, the ball goes over the sideline.
Yeah.
And it does he do a whole lot for that to be brought up? Like, I know, like, the chatting to you wanted supporters after the game, but there's supporters who are frustrated. And when a game is that tight, you know, you look at these fine margins. But I think it would be wrong for me to look at and go, we lost the game because of that. And
two points isn't a fine margin. Yeah. I know the decision's a fine margin, but 2 points.
They are the rules now, Jimmy.
It might take some cross 10 minutes to kick 2 points. Do you know what I mean? And then you're getting it for a refereeing decision when you have a great free taker. That was a harsh decision.
I'd struggle to lean too much into it. Was of the soft variety. Like I actually think Brian O'Halloran strips the ball brilliantly from Conor McKeever, but Kieran Caulfield's paws are on McKeever at the same time. There's two Meath defenders there. McNally's ahead of the play. You know, if he's a bit closer to, I don't know. I think the point you're more so making is 2 points for a free like that. Is that what you're saying, Jim?
Yeah, it is. It's 2 points. And the fact like the Meath can be gutted, and that's the fine line. Meath are thinking what we did wrong and how everything went wrong.
Yeah, but
free decision went a different way.
But Bar the Costello goal, lads. Bar the Matthew Costello goal when, you know, Sean Rafferty kind of strips Mulroy and they break, and it's a brilliant finish and a brilliant. We've seen Costello do this in Meath a couple of times. It's serious talent there. Meade's only other score since the 48th minute was Jordan Morris, who made
Morris's point.
Remarkable recovery and give us a boost off the bench and scores that brilliant point. But that's in the 48th minute of the game. Like, they don't score apart from the goal for the last 22 minutes. And after the goal goes in, 62-56 is the last time they're in control of the ball. Now, Bevan Duffy dispossesses Aaron Lynch in the square. Billy Hogan does get a short kick out after the Mulroy 2-point free to Seamus Lavin, but he's never really is in full control of the ball. I can't fully see it on the replay.
They swarm him and he's in trouble. He's in trouble,
Mulroy, Casey Byrne, and I think Grimes or maybe Downey swarm him and turnover. Me, don't touch the ball again. Like, loud, Paddy, we've seen, and I put it to Brennan and Mulroy afterwards, we saw you boys do it against Mayo in 17. We saw you do it to Kerry down to 14 and 19. James, you were on the field during that when you were desperately trying to get the ball back in 19, right?
No. We'd have won, if that was the case.
Jimmy would have taken the head off someone. No, but Tommy, that is loud. That is what experience is. Yeah. And there was times Meade were very, very close to turning over in that.
Yeah.
But it takes the. I would say this. Why does experience matter? A coach can go in and tell a team something with all the will in the world, and players might listen. They'll take it in, but nothing sears itself into a player's mind like the experience of having been in that situation themselves on the pitch. That is the best way you learn. You know, coaches tell you this, or PowerPoints, or conversations. When you're in it, like Loud had been, you could see that they had the confidence to go and do it. And the reality with me, Tommy, they did loads of good things. And like I say, for 45 minutes, they were the better team. But you felt they were one of the teams who had used the 2 point scores as such a weapon throughout the Leinster Championship. In their games in Navan, their games against Dublin Portlaoise, where there was a big wind and they had long range kickers, we always felt when you get at the Croke Park, that's going to be more difficult to execute. There's not going to be these gale force winds. It's a bigger pitch. And we've seen that play out, you know, Menton, Jack Flynn, Costello himself, a couple of 2 pointers that are just not. Maybe they might have kicked them in earlier games. So that was a weapon that would not be as potent for Meade. And we've seen that. And then the kind of bit of impact off the bench, the depth of the squad, the injuries Meade had. Surprised to see Jordan Morris, and he does have an impact. But Loud probably a little bit more. And those small things, like the experience, like the depth of the bench, like maybe not being as clinical on 2 pointers, they were all going to play a part. And you've seen it play out in that last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was the same, if you look back 8 feckin' weeks ago, lads, when they played each other in a scheme in the league, it was the same. The story of that game was similar. Loud being a little bit more street smart, a little bit further down the road. And that's how it played out yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and I just last note on this, Ronan Jones picked up a bad hamstring injury going for a ball in training, I think, earlier in the week. His loss around the middle third was really felt. And I know Conor Gray was added to the bench. You boys haven't seen a huge amount of Conor Gray. Nobody really has for the last 18 months or even since the Tailteann Cup. He just had bad injuries and had an illness. And that man is 6'5". Meade missed that presence in the second half. Tommy Dernan gets four of the first 8 Meade kickouts. Loud get a hand and break 7 of the first 8 Meade kickouts and take them. Loud win 10 out of 10 breaks in the second half. They're the numbers that make the difference.
It's the platform.
In this new game of Gaelic football. And like Meade have done the same, the flip. They destroyed Niall McDonald's kickouts in the first half. I have a clock here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of his kickouts in the first half Meade took. And that kind of gave him their purple patch where they kicked 7 points after, in between the loud second one and third
on
one.
On that, Tommy, that is the platform. We've seen Donegal in the first half do it to Aoife Rafferty in the Ulster final. We've seen Meade do it expertly against Cluxton for Dublin in the semi-final.
Yeah.
That gives you the platform. And that's, if you go back to that last play as well, after the incredible Craig Lennon score insurance point, we were behind that goal, and Meade need, you have one play to at least try and work a 2-pointer, try and get Costello or Jordan Flynn at the other end of the pitch to at least pull the trigger. And we see Billy Hogan looking to go long, and you're like, that is not the play there. You have to have something in your back pocket to secure possession, because Loud, like I say, Dernan, Loud were on top, and it was like they'd had the ball for basically 10 minutes. Somebody needs to get free and get that ball.
This shows you the wiliness of the Loud management
team. It's experience.
They make a sub at 69 minutes and 10 seconds, and it forces Hogan to go along. And then Darren McDonald, I think it is, get his hand on the ball. Okay, we're about 20 minutes into the pod here. Congrats to Loud. Fair play to you, lads. 68 years is a long time. There's a lot of generations of quality Loud footballers that a Leinster title eluded them and passed them by. So for the whole county, I'm sure they're really going to savour it. And I'd say Monaghan are licking their lips for 2 weeks' time as well, wherever that game is going to be played.
Anna, are Meade in a better place now than they were 6 months ago, 12 months ago? As hard as it is, it may not seem like that, there's been significant progress with that group of players.
I think so. I think that the potential is continuing to show itself, and there's plenty of young footballers that are still to come through the county. But I would say they have to double down on this. Like, if you think of it, 6 weeks ago, we thought the arse had fallen out of the entire year when the two coaches walk out. They recover and they have a really good April. They're after now producing a performance in Croke Park in a savage atmosphere. Like, they delivered. It's not like they bottled it or they didn't turn up or they let it go by them. They made mistakes and they possibly learned when they're in the green. Yeah, so like, get your win in the All-Ireland series. Get into their knockouts.
The positive thing, right? The shadow of Dublin are not going to win the next 14 Leinster championships in a row, lads. That is for certain. So the shadow of Dublin over the entire Leinster championship, but is not there anymore. So the opportunity, as hard as yesterday's defeat is, there will be more opportunities for Loud, for Meade. Dublin will be back, and they're going to be competitive, but it will be, they'll have more opportunities to win the Delaney Cup again, which is maybe for, like say, a whole generation of Meade players since their last win in 2010 didn't really have.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was impressed with Brennan as well. I think they're in good hands with Robbie Brennan Meade for some reason. I just think that he's solid. He knows what he's doing. Even the way he's talking, he was answering questions after the game. He got his few points across through a couple of daggers about decisions and things, but nothing major, you know, not creating headlines or anything, but I think he's very assured. I think that Meade are in safe hands there. I've no doubt they're in a better place than they were over the last couple of years.
They could nick a win and get out of that group. It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
I think that's needed, because last year, if you think of it, like, but the All-Ireland series was a write-off. They were absolutely hockeyed by Loud. They were beaten well by Monaghan. So they've got Cork, Roscommon and Kerry. Let's see what Meade can produce in Navan in 2 weeks' time. Okay, enough on Meade now for today and Loud. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about the Ulster final after the break. But James, there was other football on this weekend as well. You're our man that's keeping an eye on Everton, obviously, for your Monday Minute. You've got to have your hand in and your eye in everywhere else. Tailteann Cup took place this weekend. We had Sligo beating Tipperary by 215 to 210. Carlo, under Joe Murphy, upsetting the odds up in Brewster Park with a huge win for that side. 318 to 218. Listen to these scorelines. Westmeath, we'll come back to that in a minute, 424 to Antrim's 117. No surprise there, Westmeath continuing their brilliant form. Limerick, 25 points. They beat London by 7. London scored 115. Offaly getting over the line against Wicklow, 213 to 11 points. Just want to mention here, Ushie McGrainer lining out for Wicklow at number 13. His father, Seamus McGrainer, was playing for the Wicklow Masters on the same day. And actually, I think he lined out for the club that same weekend as well. But the McGrainers are a family we've mentioned a few times in the pod before, but that's pretty impressive. So 33 years between them. But yeah. Not like the good Johnsons, who wasn't either subbed on for his dad when he made his
first debut. It was his debut, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, against Frost.
Yeah, it was his debut back in the day. But yeah, impressive stuff. And he actually played a Division 1A game in Wicklow the next day. Reckless stuff. So fair play to James there.
Subbed on. That's harsh for the good Johnsons there. Subbed on with the father. You'd think they'd have given him 2 minutes torch with the father.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Leash.
Did you ever play together? No. Because I was taken off for him.
I could have got that wrong. My memory of Icelandic.
No, I think it is right. I've heard that. I have heard that before.
Leash 28 points, Waterford 116, a 9-point win for Leash. Wexford beating Longford 224-118. Kildare putting 36 points on Leitrim, no shooting problems there, 36-11. James, one performance definitely caught your eye this weekend in the Touch and Cup.
Well, I've never seen a fella kick 117 before. That is outrageous kicking. Luke Lockton, he really took advantage of the 2-pointers. I actually only saw the highlights in the Sunday game, obviously, but you can tell his eye was in, because there was a couple of attacks where he could have gone forward and he decided to come back out and chip the 2-pointer. He's a brilliant player, in fairness to Luke Lockton.
Yeah,
very clever.
He was red hot in that Leinster quarterfinal against Kildare. I was at that game as well. Yeah.
He's consistent.
Didn't give him out of the match because they didn't win, even though he was probably the best pitch. But he has some boot on him. Like.
Yeah,
he does. There's something about the left leg as well. It just looks so much better. It's just a sexy kick.
Shut up, Jimmy. You would have spoken like a true lefty.
I presume, just as a final quick mention on Loud, the treble is on for Loud. They've got a Leinster minor final, I think, Monday week. They're now in a under-20s All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo this Friday. So there's a serious buzz in the county. James, did you have your eye on Kerry getting a bit of a clipping from Tyrone?
I did. Well, a bit of a clipping is a bit harsh.
214-14 points. Now, Tyrone were favourites coming into this. It's a strong Tyrone side.
They were. First half, Kerry actually did well. They made a couple of mistakes, got done for not having the three up, got done for a 2-pointer. And then they interfered with a mark, another one. So they were kind of in the game, missed a couple of goal chances. And then the second goal went in just at the end of the half. And, we went in 5 down rather than maybe 1 or 2 down. And it was very difficult from there. And in fairness to Tyrone forwards, very lively,
I'm
not leading the line there, but
they're a good team. They're a very
there's a couple
team
of them
for that age group. They're a very good team.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep an eye on that 20s game on Friday night. Mayo facing Loud, two very interesting sides there. We're going to take a quick break on the Football Pod. It's brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We're back right after this, looking at a cracking Ulster final in Clonus on Saturday night. Paddy Andrews, I was in Ennis on Saturday night for Clare and Tip. I know I was on GAA Plus as well. I will not lie, I watched the first half of the Ulster final in Clonus on my iPad before the ball was thrown in the Munster. I managed to catch half time during the Clare game, so I got about 10 minutes there, and I got the last couple minutes as well. I had to watch it back though that night in full. Like, talk to us about this game. I think the three of us need to get the Clonus for the next Ulster final and do an actual a show up there, because the colour, the noise, the ingenuity, like, did you see there was car parks? There were not even €5, there were €6 for car parks, and they take pounds or they take euros. So there's a real trade town in Clonus, and it's made for Ulster finals, I think.
I thought it was an absolutely spectacular game of Gaelic football. We expected it to be a toss-up between the two teams, and that's how it turned out. We're talking about the All-Ireland series and what everyone's looking forward to now over the next 8 weeks. I would say it's very difficult to call. For me, there's four teams who the All-Ireland winner is going to come from, and there's so little between them. Kerry, Galway, and then these two teams. And then everyone else is a rung below. The Dublin, Mayo, any of these, Tyrone. What was displayed by both of those teams on Saturday night, in unbelievable heat, you could see players were dying on their boots before even extra time, would even got to extra time. I thought the quality at the Leinster final was exciting. It was a brilliant spectacle. But even the difference in intensity and quality from what we've seen in Clonus on Saturday night to what we've seen on Sunday was stark. These two teams are unbelievably well coached. Every single player in Donegal and Armagh has complete and utter clarity of what they're doing. what's expected of them. They're, touch on Donegal, the winners in the end. The first 50 minutes from Donegal was as good as I've seen any team play, but Donegal play definitely since McGuinness has come back. I thought it was a spectacular performance. The variety we were crying out for in their game, that, okay, we know they're really precise and really, really kind of structured in how they're going to attack, nearly like Rory Gallagher's Derry team when they were at their best. They make very few mistakes. Their decision-making, every player knows exactly what they're doing, and they run the ball. You look at Langan gets a goal chance after 10 minutes. It's a free. They kick the score. Hugh McFadden's goal in the second half comes from Shane O'Donnell. They keep the ball, and they are waiting for one of your defenders to switch off. And Armando, this is the case as well, but they're so composed on the ball. They're waiting for a hole to be picked, and then they go. Then they also have a bit of variety with Thompson and his two-pointers and Langan and Murphy. They've that weapon. We've seen Thompson kick two monsters in the first half. And then what we were crying out for, use Michael Murphy. Put that man inside and start hitting kick passes into him as well. And they used that two or three times in the first half as well. Finbar Rorty hits a beautiful, what a moment, a diagonal kick pass into Murphy after 16 or so. And Murphy catches it with one hand. It was fucking unbelievable stuff.
How did he get a free for that?
Because McKay was like trying to stone cold stutter him at the same time, and Murphy still catches it with one hand.
I think he gave it free, yeah.
But the variety of play, Donegal had so many weapons, and for 50 minutes, the clock goes to 50 and they're 6 points up, and they're full value for it. And they were just unbelievable execution. They go after Rafferty's kickouts. They went six deals in the first half. We said Rafferty was red hot against Tyrone. And we know Donegal come in. The preparation, the attention to detail. They force Rafferty to open his body. He's a left footer. He likes to just clip that one around the corner. They open their body. It allows, it basically telegraphs the kick out. And Donegal push right up. Patton is winning clean kickouts. All of that is preparation. Coaches, analysis, the players carried it out. And for 50 minutes, it was Rolls Royce stuff from Donegal. But the last quarter, and this is Armagh's credit, Armagh are like just a bad smell. They're hanging around. They've so many threats. Ross McQuillan kicks in. Ushin O'Neill with those long range 2 point scores. Even as good as Donegal were, Armagh are only 3 points down at half time. And then Soupy Campbell comes in. Turbo comes in. And all of a sudden, the 6 point gap that Donegal had built up, Armagh come roaring back into the game and very nearly win the game. Connolly. This, we're seeing this type of players like Bugler with Dublin, you know, he's in the fringes, nobody's picking him up, and he kicks 6 or 7 points for play. So Armagh have these weapons as well. The worry for Donegal, everything that was so good in the first 50 minutes, then they start becoming a bit loose, a bit erratic with their shooting. Jamie Brennan comes off the bench, he has a bit of a not his best day, whereas Armagh get the kick with Turbin and Campbell. Ryan McHugh has a couple of misses. They obviously turn over a couple of possessions, which Langan's hand pass at the end is the famous one, and Connolly gets the equaliser. But Donegal will be fuming with that last 20 minutes and allows Armagh back into the game. But they showed how good they can be. But Armagh, to their credit, another heartbreaking loss. But what a team they are as well. I thought the spectacle, the drama of it. I was taught, we said penalties last week, lads. It was very nearly that. But Kieran Moore's goal is the difference in the end. What a game of football. What two unbelievable teams, groups of players, coaches. They are going to be right there at the end of the season as well. I thought it was spectacular stuff.
But, you know, with Armagh, what is it about them that they can wrestle back the momentum? Do you know, at times you think the game is gone from them, and they always seem to be able to just turn it around. I don't know, what is it? Is it that they have, are they fresher fitness-wise? Is it a case of that mentally they're prepared to be behind and be digging it out constantly? But like they're never gone. They're never out the way. It's an incredible attribute to have. I don't know, is it down to the sideline?
Looked, Jimmy. Now look, it was unbelievably hot. Obviously, Ireland, we are not used to this type of weather. And the intensity of the game was being played at. Like if any mistake was punished, that it just... any sort of error, kick out, Patton had a couple of, and it's a score at the other end. So that was the quality we're dealing with. But Armagh, they looked, that last quarter, they looked fitter than Donegal. Like Donegal are unbelievably fit. But the kick off the bench, like Campbell comes in, you know, that poor lad is never going to start for Armagh again because he's just too important for them.
He's too good.
You're bringing a turban off the bench, the bit of impact off the bench. And you're right. Is it maybe just this the build-up, the resilience that Armagh team have? Because they were, even in the first half, they weren't going great, but they were just hanging in there. The different scoring threats. Oisin O'Neill's boot has kind of replaced Reid O'Neill's boot with the long-range two-pointers. It's, you know, if they're a serious, serious team, but they'd be good at it again. It's a tight game that they've lost. Like you could see, the Ulster Championship means so much to them. It's been, what, 17 years since they've won one. They only have won the big one. And Ethan Rafferty, they give a great interview after the match. Kind of, you know, this is just sport. You know, there's so many moments in a game
was sick,
like that.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
Absolutely sick. But they have the experience. Again, when we lost this last year on penalties, yeah, and the year before, and we came back and we won the All-Ireland. And put it this way, lads, I know they go into the group with Dublin and Galway and Derry, and they will have, Armagh going to have a massive say on where Sam Maguire goes again. But that's, you're right, Jimmy, they've some balls as a team, like, and it was very nearly enough to get them over the line on Saturday night.
It's a bit insane that, is it just six of their All-Ireland winning starting teams started that Ulster final? Like, I know, Paddy, that they've had depth and quality, but like the likes of Jardy O'Byrne and Ross McQuillan, does the new game just suit them more, or are they just stepping up here? Like, because I thought they were so powerful and strong throughout that game.
Yeah, their athleticism and just that transition. And Armagh, similar to Galway, or similar to Donegal, they had a bit of variety in their game as well. We know they can run the ball. We know the power and physicality they have. But then they had the kick passing game as well at different times. Just we said what makes Armagh strong last week and how would Donegal try and nullify them. They have such a breadth of weapons to use. And you're right, Ross McQuillan, Charlie O, those two guys seem to have gone to another level this year. You know, McQuillan has a big influence on the first half as well, that kind of power running game. It's the areas they look at, they go, they weren't at the best in the first half. I know that they're still hanging around, but can they improve on that? Donegal do a number and get Hay out of Rafferty's kick out, which is normally such a weapon for them as well. So that's going to be the area they look at.
I think that just proves that Tyrone weren't at it that day with the kick-out.
That's a level, isn't it?
I know.
A level of the top four teams, and then there's a rung below. Yeah. And as good as Tyrone were, things like that, we say, matter. Look at the Leinster final. The platform at midfield is massive. And that's what Donegal did. The other thing, McCambridge was weird. Like McCambridge is on Gallen, and Gallen gets half for 20 minutes in the second quarter.
He looked good.
4 points. Yeah. But this is a thing for, it was the first time himself, McBrady and Murphy all started. He gets shoved off in the second half. He doesn't do a lot else in the game, Oisin Gallen. Mm. And it's like how he's so
like
good.
He's like a number nine striker.
Yeah,
he's a finisher.
Haaland, isn't he? Like,
he's a finisher and that's it, yeah.
But can they get more out of him? Can Donegal work a way where he can influence the game without just kicking unbelievable? Because it was the same in last year's Ulster final. He gets red hot and he's so good, but then he's on the periphery of the game for everything else. Mm. But he gives McCambridge an absolute handful there for the second quarter of the first half. And our man, look at that. McCambridge, he's their guy. Could he have done a bit better there? You know, Grugan, this is...
Can we talk about this?
Ryan McHugh was a number on Grugan. And we know
What does he do, Paddy?
Because it's just diligence. Like, he is... We've been man-marked before in games.
Yeah, but
he can drift around and maybe get away from him and you get on the end of things. You look at some of the high behind. McHugh, and I think a weapon might McHugh.
I think that's the way you're supposed to be marking someone.
Jimmy, you know it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't normally happen like that. I know it should. So, Corby, fucking evidence easy now. It should all be when we're talking about it. But McHugh...
But I mean, Phyllis has been getting away with murder for years not being marked.
But that's what McHugh does. And so that's why he's so impactful on Saturday. Not in the glamorous stuff that we've seen with Roy McHugh in the past, getting up the pitch and getting big scores. He just clamps on to Grugan and it's like, Tommy, put it this way, like this mentality to do that and sacrifice your game. I'd love to run up the pitch and get on the end of things. I'd love to do this. I'd love to do that. I can get distracted by the intensity that game has been played at. But McHugh was like totally selflessly. Like, Grugan, I'm fucking coming for you. The one thing Donegal would look at and say, we did well on Grugan, but what happened with Oisin Connolly? How's he getting that? Look at his last score. He's in the middle of the day on his own with the last kick of the game. So Donegal will look at that and go, is that a McMenamin type job? You know, he comes out at the end. We know he is a man marking role. Or Brendan McCall, because that was an area that Donegal fell down in. But McHugh on Grugan was just one of those battles. And you're right, Jimmy. Defenders should be like that forward. But we know it doesn't happen so many times. But McHugh does it unbelievably well on Saturday night.
Yeah. The first goal, it's this run from, was it Shane O'Donnell or Conor O'Donnell? And it spills.
Shane O'Donnell.
Yeah, it spills. And Hugh McFadden has this, you mentioned
it.
Wow,
roof of the net.
Oh, he has this brilliant finish. Was it a bit of a Harry Maguire finish, you know, at the back post?
Hey,
I don't know. But it was,
that's harsh.
Harry Maguire's got a nice try. But it was a brilliant finish. But then the goal in extra time, right? And Armagh had kind of kept their noses in front and were playing well in extra time. Again, it's this line break. It's Michael Langan that kind of gets... Grugan just can't move. We had fellas dropping over the field.
Bollocks,
cramp and hamstrings. And it's like... It's nearly like Langan's going in slow motion, but he just can't be caught. And he slips it across to Kieran Moore and it's a good finish. He gets down to his boot really, really quickly. It's a good finish. But I don't know, it's such a key score. And we've been kind of talking about goals. And James, you made the point coming into this about Donegal's lack of goals coming into it. McBurtley, I think, spoke about it, that it's a conversation amongst the group. Like they're actively talking about it. I think this weekend we saw the value of the goal. We saw it in Loudermead. We saw it here in Donegal and Armagh as well. The team that kicked the most two-pointers in both games lost, Meade and Armagh. So should we be worrying about this apparent trend where, I know goal shots are up, but goals are down? Like, do we need to worry about that yet? Or are we getting a reminder now that getting the green flag is worth it?
I genuinely think that if a team thinks that they're going to kick enough one-pointers to win games, they're wrong. They're just wrong. I think you need goals, two-pointers and one-pointers. You need to be able to get every single angle of score, because in Croke Park, when this opens up, it's going to be 26 points as a base level.
Wow.
So there's no way that one-pointers are going to get you there. So the quickest route, obviously, is through the goal scene, but I think that the goals will definitely pick up. I know the chances are up, maybe the finishing is a bit off, but there's no way anybody is winning Sam Maguire without goals and having two-pointers nailed down. And we've seen teams be exposed, play well, but not build up enough of a lead and then be chased down, or maybe vice versa, don't have the ability to chase the lead because they can't get them.
Yeah, Armagh, were Armagh 7-0 twice? Were the 6-0 twice, Paddy, in that game? Just a word.
But then Armagh have chances for goals as well. Like the one...
Charlie Oak.
Ben Creeley's one hits off Charlie Oak onto the post. And that was just after McFadden's goal as well. So
McMullen's wide after the first goal, yeah.
The margins are so tight between these teams. Yeah. And that's kind of... We could be having a conversation here. I think both teams deserve massive credit. Both teams are going to be right there. They're two of the top teams in the country. It went for Donegal on Saturday night.
Yeah, just a final word there on Murphy. I may have been a little bit unfair earlier saying possibly didn't deserve man of the match. He still had a big impact, but just the emotion. We're talking about the emotion allowed there. He's made this comeback after being out for a couple of years. Oh, I think there was a shot of himself and his father at the end of the
game.
Him
and his dad at the end. It was emotional looking at it.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable up there. His I told you, it was at a game last year he was doing it with GA Go, Tyrone Donegal game, Ballybuffet in the qualifiers, and Donegal win the game, and Murphy is like the fucking Beatles up there, lads. You know, the kids, the whole stadium converges on him, and he's not even playing. The current players are walking by and all the kids just want to see Murphy. So he's held in that high esteem. For him to go back was a massive call, because it's not easy to go at that age with the miles on the clock, and also there is a bit of a risk in kind of going, I'm not going to be as good as I was when I was 23, 24. That's just life. That's sport. And he's gone back. And a big thing at that age, we'd all love to, like we were in Croker yesterday, tell me, Jimmy, you would have come watching Kerry. But we'd all love to play in these games now, play in Croke Park and that atmosphere. But there's 7 or 8 months of work to get you to that point, to be able to do that. And like your life is on hold. You are, everything you do, the sacrifice and the effort you have to, and the older you are as well, to put into, even put yourself in the position to be able to do that is unbelievable. And Murphy goes back knowing all of that and the pressure and responsibility he's going to feel, and he's gone back. And what we seen on Saturday night was the reward for that. And I thought he was exceptional in the game. You know, he scores 3 points from play. I don't think he put one foot wrong. The possessions he gets, every single thing he does, he gets a turnover at the end. He was so pivotal to what Donegal do. And listen to the players. Like, Kieran Moore came up as a young player. I asked him on the Sunday game, go, what age are you in 2012? Like, when Murphy was captain. He was like, I was 9 or 10. Watch him. His own teammates look at him in this aura way. That brings a pressure to deliver. And for Murphy to go and do what he did and show the quality he still has, I couldn't be happier for him. I couldn't have more respect for him. And seeing him with his dad at the final whistle in tears, he is just Mr. Donegal. It means it's life and death to that fella. And I was so happy for him to do it. But what's gone on behind the scenes for him to put himself in that position deserves, I could not have more respect for what he's done. And I was delighted for him to get that moment. Whether they win the All-Ireland or not, they're going to be right there. But that moment on Saturday night, he'll remember that for the rest of his life. And he deserves it.
I just want to make a little link here between June 22nd, 2022. Clonus, Brendan Cawley is the referee. It's Donegal 16 points, Armagh 3-17. And I believe, and I can't remember where I heard it or where he said it, I believe in the car, on the way home from Clonus with his parents in the car, Michael Murphy made the decision that day to retire from Donegal. So to come back, what is it, little under 3 years later, 2 years and 11 months later.
He had a great number, he was there with GAA Plus, that's where it's at. And he said, no, I'm going back, lads.
Yeah, so that just shows it.
Every point he gets is worth more than a point, isn't it? It's like the way a goal is worth, it's worth more than three because the crowd reaction. And
just that
when
factor.
Murphy gets something, it's like everyone goes,
they give it a bit more.
The catch was, the one hand catch was glorious. It was magical.
Phenomenal.
But you know what was even better though? You know what was even better? It's the angled ball that comes from the kind of Lacey territory in the 2012 final, and Forker's under him. There's three Armagh boys around them, and he breaks it twice.
And wins it again.
That's better.
But this was Donegal kicking the ball, the angle, Rorty hits him with one. As a pattern with the other one, I think. What a weapon that is. And we hadn't seen it from Donegal so far this season. So what a strength about that can be.
I think the kingdom, both the teams are going to expose with that.
Yeah, right. That's the thing.
We've seen teams fullback, like Dublin's fullback now is there for the taking.
I don't think
Kerry have anyone to mark a Murphy if they're going to be kicking high balls like that. McGuinness is obviously saying that we're going to do this, but down the line, it's going to be a lot more beneficial in Croke Park against those teams than it is even now. So
can't wait to see it. We're going to be definitely previewing Galway Dublin in Salt Hill this weekend on our members pod on Wednesday. There's a load of great games on. It's a really big couple of weeks in Gaelic football. The provincial championships are all complete. Congratulations to Louth, to Kerry, to Galway and to Donegal for picking up their provincial championships. This weekend we have got obviously Mayo 20s against the Louth 20s on the Friday night. In the Tailteann Cup we have Waterford Offaly, we've got Tipperary up against Kildare, we've got Antrim against Limerick, Wicklow against Laois, Leitrim against Sligo, London Westmeath, Carlow up against Wexford, Longford up against Fermanagh, and in the All-Ireland series, Kerry against Roscommon, Galway against Dublin, Clare hosting Down in Ennis on Sunday, and Mayo up against Cavan. Big games this weekend. It's going to be very enjoyable. We will talk about them all in our members pod on Wednesday. Paddy, just before we go, I mentioned a date there in 2022 with Michael Murphy. Does May the 12th, 2021 ring a bell for you?
May the 12th, 2021... not COVID. Was it still COVID? Was it COVID in the end? No.
Listen,
no, it doesn't ring a bell anyway.
We're going to dig out of that hole. Happy 4 year anniversary of the football pod, my friend. We launched our first episode with Andy Moran this day 4 years ago.
In May.
It was.
Should you not remember the championship was all messed up then? It all only started that
back
summer.
Back in the days. So wow. Okay. Yeah. May
there you go.
Be with you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You
it's
too.
Emotional. It's been emotional.
Yeah, we'll keep it going a little while longer. I think there's a little bit more oxygen in Gaelic football. We were kind of, I think, struggling, James and Paddy, last year with the excitement levels of the game, but you cannot deny it now.
There was a lot of chat about the pod in Croke Park yesterday from me and Louth supporters. People good. Are listening out there somewhere, which is great.
We like to hear it, fans of the pod. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and Paddy and James, good work this Monday. We will talk to you again later this week. Appreciate it, lads. Be good.
Cheers, boys.
Bye, friends.